Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and thanks for listening. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. I'd like to say hello and thank you to my guest today, Abel Kay. Say hello.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah,
and thanks. Greetings from far away China.
Yes, you are very far away. It is 9:30 a.m. for me, which means it's, what, 9:30 for you p.m.?
That is correct, yes.
I'm glad we were able
to speak. I am 12 hours in your future.
Yes. Well, we've been chatting for a while, and a lot of the time, you know, I see that you're pretty active with our social media, which we love, and, you know, you've got two different shows that we're going to talk about, so happy to have you on.
Thank you. All my pleasure.
So we have one article to talk about for podcasting news, which is pretty relevant to the entire podcasting community, and then we're going to dive into talking about your shows and how you chose Blueberry and whatnot and kind of your interactions with us, and then that's it for today. At the end, you'll get a PowerPress tip from Sean Thorpe, but that's the episode.
Perfect.
Okay.
Excellent.
The article that I would like to discuss today came out on August 8th, and it's from TechCrunch, and it says, "Personal audio loses its appeal for podcasting patent." This is pretty important concerning podcasters, because a company called Personal Audio was trying to place a patent on podcasting, which means essentially that they wanted to make everyone pay a fee for this patent to even have a show, which is kind of ridiculous.
Like I said, the first thing that crossed my mind when I saw the article that you sent me over is, well, somebody someday is going to put a patent on the way of breathing in our air.
Everyone's trying to do something.
Yes. It's honestly, I did not know about this until you made me aware of this. But as you say, you're completely right. This is huge for all the podcasting community. I mean, old podcasters out there are probably aware, or were probably aware, I should say, because this has been a ongoing trial.
Oh, yes.
And in my personal case, this is something totally new. And it's a good thing that you guys are making the world of those new podcasters aware that such dangers actually exist out there. You know, that somebody is actually working on not letting them podcast in some ways or restricting their freedom of podcasting, which is terrible.
That's
terrible.
I feel like it's part of the heart and soul of podcasting is that anyone can do it, and that it has such a low barrier of getting involved, and you can do this out of your home. I mean, that's what you're doing. So like, anyone can do this, and they were trying to take that away. And it was, I hadn't even heard about this in almost 2 years, because I remember it was brought up again in 2015. I honestly don't remember when it started.
Talking about this event, let's make clear about two names.
Yes.
One is the one we talked at a few minutes before this show started, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the other one is Personal Audio. So maybe we can go through, for those new podcasters, including myself, who is who in this whole story.
That's probably a smart idea. So in this case, for the podcasters, Electronic Frontier Foundation is, I guess, the good guys. They're the ones that were fighting this and taking it up with the Court of Appeals.
So those would be the guys in the little boat, the Greenpeace guys in the little boat chasing those ships that were, those whaling ships that were killing whales left and right and getting rid of whales worldwide, right?
Yes. So
okay.
We are very thankful for Electronic Frontier Foundation, because they have been the ones putting their money into this, and they are, I mean, this is what they do on a regular basis. They fight against broad tech patents in general. So they've been doing this for a long time.
My hat goes to them.
Yes.
And now let's go to the other guys. I think it's Personal Audio, right?
Personal Audio. So I don't know much about them. But Personal Audio has a broad patent for, and it's called System for Disseminating Media Content Representing Episodes in a Serialized Sequence. Basically, what they were trying to do with this is, you know, if you're going to have episodes in a row, make it that you can't do that.
Yeah, or you have to go through a series of steps in order to be able to do that, mm-hmm. which I think would include payment, right?
Yes. I mean, it's a patent, and every patent I've really paid attention to, you have to pay to get access to it to be able to do it legally and correctly, and that's what they wanted people to be able to be doing for this. And you brought up earlier that if people were paying, that they would be okay, and for everyone else, it was... Not so safe.
Just a big problem.
Yeah, definitely. Right.
So this has, as you said, in this article shows that this has come out actually very, very recently. This court decision has come out really, really recently.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess we could make podcasters, and again, myself too, aware of if there is a follow-up on this. Is there a sequel coming up? Is there a 2.0 of this whole thing coming up? Or are we in the clear now?
I would assume that we are in the clear now because this was an appeal. So the Electronic Frontier Foundation appealed the federal circuit, and then this patent was deemed invalid. So if anything, it would be Personal Audio trying to do something again, because at this point, we're in the clear. So
at this point, if those, the ones we call the bad guys, want to really continue with this fight, and I think the article names that somewhere in the article. I don't have it right in front of my eyes right now. But the next step for them would be the Supreme Court, right?
Yes, definitely.
And that would be a little harder.
Yeah, that involves probably significant money as well. And they've been fighting over this for years. So at some point, they've got to choose when it's worth it to stop spending the money on this. So
what would the impact have been if they had lost, for example, if the court would have ruled the other way, or if they would have lost this appeal? And I mean, as a podcaster, where would I stand right now? Would I have to start to make monthly payments? What would be the difference?
Honestly, I don't know how effective this would actually be. I feel like it would be a little chaotic and kind of in the realm of pirate radio, where, you know, people wanted to still do radio, but they didn't have a place to do it. So they just, they figured it out.
I also want to dare to say that maybe this would have been a little bit of a slow motion event.
Mm-hmm.
Like, for example, I remember when I just came to the US, which was in the late 80s, early 90s, mm-hmm. In America, we were still going through the event of smoking is bad and smoking is not allowed here and there. Because I remember in the 80s, or especially in the 70s, smoking was, it was a normal thing. Mm-hmm. It was, for God's sake, a scientist at NASA watched a man landing on the moon and they were all smoking in front of those computers there, right?
Yes.
And this was not something that happened from one day to the next one. This was a 10-year process, mm-hmm. going down the road. So maybe this would also have been something rather slow than too fast.
I 100% agree. It would have been very slow. It would have been, if anything, I could just see another legal battle here of mm-hmm. that, you know, they're gonna push and go to the Supreme Court possibly, mm-hmm. because this has been in, people have been talking about this for a long time now, and nothing's ever happened. Like, no one's ever pulled mm-hmm. back. No one's ever thought that it was an issue. So I think at first, awareness that it was even, that a patent even existed would be huge in the beginning.
Yeah.
Telling people
this exists now
and that it's been in talks for a long time. So I think that would be the first step, and that would probably be met with confusion and anger and just blatant rejection of, well, that's great, but I'm not going to do it, especially old podcasters.
Yeah. And of course, as you just said, rightly so, awareness. I mean, I'm sure thousands and thousands of garage podcasters, including myself, you know, humble, small, new podcasters, they had no idea. And well, with this, I hope if even one more podcast has knows that this has been actually going on, well, that's a good thing, right?
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I remember when I first saw this article, Todd, our CEO, who has, you know, been following this, just made the offhanded comment of like, I wish, you know, we should all figure out a way to somehow donate to the Electronic Frontier Foundation because of all their work that they've been doing and all the money that they've been spending, and that we didn't have to fight this for ourselves.
Yes. Well, there goes to, if I had a beer next to me, I would say there goes to EFF.
Yes, definitely.
Electronic Frontier Foundation.
Cheers to that. I'm not going to cheers at 9 in the morning either.
Well, you cannot. You're on somewhere on the East Coast and it's morning and you're at the office. I'm at home, so I can do that. But still, I do not have a beer. In fact, I was drinking a coffee. half an hour ago. So
we will celebrate accordingly at a different time.
That's correct. Yeah. That's correct. Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
So you wanted to tackle some other topics, right?
Yes, definitely. Okay. Mm-hmm. So now that we've wrapped that up, I just want to get right into learning about your shows, because you've been podcasting for a little while now and you just recently started a second show. And tell us, first off, just tell us what the two shows are.
I have two shows. I actually cannot say two, because one of them has only three episodes. It just launched, and actually it's launching on August 22. But the reason I put three episodes ahead of time, ahead of the launch, is so that I could apply to iTunes.
Yep.
And have it listed on iTunes by the day of the, let's say, official launch.
Right.
But basically, it's only one. And the reason I did is, basically, I semi-retired back in 2008. I was, at that time, I was living in Birmingham, Alabama. And like so many guys, I just wanted to be a writer. Yeah. And being a writer, I got into writer's block more often than not. And because what I wanted to write was historical fiction, I like history, I had a lot of research to do. And doing research, and in my case, ancient Rome, I realized that I just didn't know enough about ancient Rome to write it and to make it sound credible. In other words, I would not write something like, okay, Julius Caesar walked and grabbed the phone. I mean, that much I knew. Right. But still, I felt I needed a lot more information on how people moved, talked, felt, and lived their daily lives in those times.
Yeah.
So then I started researching. It was a YouTube first, podcast second, script.com, if it's okay to name them. They have a lot of books, and I read a lot of them. Amazon, you name it, I went through it, and I realized that podcasting was a really cool thing. I mean, it's not that I knew. I'm an IT guy, so I knew about it.
Uh-huh.
I just never paid attention to it.
Oh, yeah, definitely. We all have that form of technology we just don't care about.
I've been doing websites since websites are out there.
Yeah.
In 1995, I was using CGI Bing to make a button that says send me an email type like Yahoo, and people were going like, whoa, like this. But the point is that podcasting is both one of the oldest ways of transmitting news or music or whatever, and also one of the most, I would say, one of the media that has the most longevity if I look into the future. The most longevity if I look into the future. Being there is no clear sign of this falling. I mean, this if we make a line on a graph, I don't see the line of podcasts going down anytime soon.
Nope. It's going up. It's definitely going up.
Exactly. So then I said, okay, you know what? Instead of writing my book, why don't I write first a good set of episodes on what I think I need to know.
Yeah.
And then it crossed my mind, hey, why not podcasting? I mean, giving this, because I might be wrong in some things and I might be right in some other things. Why don't I give it to the public so that I get input back? Hey, you wrote that wrong. Julius Caesar doesn't have an iPhone, something like that, yes. Right? So then, well, here my podcast started and I just liked it. I remember in March I published the first 5 episodes. And hey, I never stopped every Sunday. I even went last 2 weeks, I went on vacation in the northeast of China and I was still podcasting from the hotel.
Yeah, that's the beauty of podcasting.
The next step was whom to choose as a podcasting hosting. Because it was very clear right away, even though I have my own server to host websites, it was clear right away that my own server, which I believe is located somewhere in India, I just know the address, I never visited the actual box, they would not support my files. Even if I had just myself as a listener, they would still be like, no.
They're not going to be very happy about it, yeah.
So very, very, very quickly, I realized, okay, I need a hosting, somebody to host my MP3 and maybe in the future MP4 files. Mm-hmm. And then came the fight. And that fight took me about, I would say, a month.
Yeah.
I was between Libsyn, I was between Blueberry. I also went to SoundCloud, but for just one day.
Yeah.
And I listened to a lot of tutorials, on YouTube tutorials. And one of them, which we agreed, I want to mention two people here. Mm-hmm. One is Blueberry's Mike Dell.
Yep.
I mean, my hat goes to him. And I just recently, I believe last week, like 5 days ago, I got approved by him to join the Blueberry Facebook group.
Oh, yes.
Which I'm so happy about it.
Yeah.
But that's not the point. The point was that he made a really old-fashioned style tutorial on how to use Blueberry. Mm-hmm. And he doesn't start with, hey guys, you know, with a fancy intro with flying letters and bold and flashing. And no, he starts with a typical Sunday morning, I still didn't get my coffee type tutorial.
Yes.
I loved it. I mean, I loved it from minute one. And you know what? Usually people look for tutorials, and I include myself. We look for tutorials that are 10 minutes, 20 minutes.
Yep. You want to get your info and get out.
His tutorial was an hour and a half or an hour 15, something like that. It was still the best.
Yep.
I believe I heard Mike Dell's, I watched Mike Dell's tutorial like, I think 3 times from edge to edge, and then again a few times, but just pieces of it. And also the other person I want to mention is Daniel J. Lewis. Mm-hmm. He kind of convinced me on the advantages that Blueberry has. Because to be honest, if I go to Blueberry website, they would say we are the best. If I go to the other guy's website, he would say I'm the best.
Of course.
That's normal. But somebody who is in the neutral and somebody who has been around like Daniel J. Lewis, he kind of got me off the fence. And I said, well, let me try. At that time, I actually already had a Libsyn account, and it got a little bit fuzzy at the moment when I had to divide episode. I mean, not divide, sorry. I should say that at the moment when I had to dedicate categories to podcast episodes so that they would go online the right way.
Yep.
That was very easy in Blueberry and very hard in Libsyn for some reason. I don't know why. So basically, this is the story of those first 2 months and why I chose Blueberry. And of course, why I chose podcasting as well, you know.
Yes.
And the topic is obviously ancient Rome. My current bigger podcast, not the baby podcast, podcast is in Spanish language because I wanted to do the English first, but because I knew that I was very green at podcasting, I said, why don't I do it first in Spanish, and why don't I make all those stupid mistakes in Spanish so that when I start the English one, I'm good at it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I started the Spanish one. Now I don't want to leave it anymore.
Yeah.
In fact, 2 days ago, I, just as an anecdote, I got an email, not a comment on the actual podcast episode, a personal email from a facial surgeon. This man is a surgeon, a Japanese surgeon in Mexico City, telling me, I mean, in beautiful words, in Spanish language, of course, how much he appreciated my breaking down the history of Rome the way I did it. And I was like, oh my God, this kind of things make podcasting really, I mean,
really rewarding.
Yes, it was awesome.
Yeah.
So I just gave him very, very quick answer. I said, Dr. blah, blah, blah. I'm going to take the liberty of thanking you publicly in my next episode.
Yes.
So then, and he also said, please do not stop with your Spanish podcast because I really want like to listen to you.
Oh, that's so nice so to then, hear.
Yes. And so then in the next episode, which was this last Sunday, because I always publish every Sunday, religiously every Sunday, and I try to do it at the same hour.
Yep.
I add a little sentence at the end of the episode, and I say, Doctor, and I insert the name, I want to thank you for your beautiful email and for the enthusiasm that you gave me and all that. And please be sure that I'm not going to stop with this Spanish podcast until I get to episode 401, which will be, according to my plan, in the year 2024.
Wow.
He sent me another email next day. Oh my God, Mr. Abel. Everything was Mr. Like, I mean, totally super quoted, super high. I don't know. This man is probably my same age and very, very, you know, old school. And he sent me a long email thanking me for the way I thanked him.
Yeah.
And this kind of things really make it worthwhile. You know?
Once you're able to build that relationship with someone, it just, you know, it means so much.
Exactly. And then came to my mind some words from Daniel J. Lewis when he said his first year he published about, I think he said something like, I might be wrong, but I think he said something like 11 episodes in the whole year.
Yeah.
And he had like 14 visitors, something like that. And look, when you have 50 listens a day in a podcast, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No.
You have to imagine yourself. And you have 50 people in a hall, and they want to listen to what you have to say. Whatever that be, that ancient Rome, be that technology, whatever it is, they want to listen to you.
I try to tell people that all the time when they're getting down about their statistics, and I just try to remind them you have this many people that you have no idea who they are listening to you.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's really amazing. And one day even I got, because I follow him on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Well, I follow you too, but he tweets a lot. And he said, try to set yourself how many times you allow yourself to look at your stats.
Yes.
Like do not get nuts over stats.
I think
over
that's stats. Very important, actually.
They are, but there is, honestly, there is people who should look a little bit less at the stats and look a little bit more at the value of the podcast.
I 100% agree. I could not. That is the perfect way to put it.
Yes. And again, you know, he has been right in so many ways. And the last, he gives me a tip a week. He sends me an email of a tip. It's not me. I mean, he has this email chain set up.
The newsletter type thing,
Yeah, and the last email was beautiful where he says, for anybody who has more than one podcast, including myself, do you have an iTunes provider page? I'm like, what? I never heard of that. And so I dig into his podcast. I want to hear the episode about what is an iTunes provider page? Because I do have two podcasts, and whatever it is, I want to have it.
You want to have them, if someone stumbles across the first, you want them to know you have a second.
Exactly. I mean, if I put it in comparison with my podcast, the ancient Romans, didn't really need coins for money because they were very good at bartering, okay? But because ancient Greece had it and they so admired the Greeks, well, the Romans wanted them too. So they started making their own coins. Right. But they didn't need them. So anyway, I don't even know if I really need an iTunes provider page, which is what they call it, but I
want
to have it.
But you want it, yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Exactly. So anyway, I followed Daniel's instructions. He sent a nice email to iTunes with all the things I had to give them so that they could provide me. Now I'm on a waiting list, whatever waiting list that is, and maybe someday I get a so-called iTunes provider page.
That's
which so basically nice. That's basically for anybody who has more than one podcast. You get to have in one page a little bit about stats of both or all three or all four or how many, however many you have. And it's good for showing off, and it's also good for linking.
Yes, definitely.
Once you send to friends, you can link that. And by the way, that's another thing I really liked about Blueberry, the way Blueberry links things once you use them with WordPress. I'm sure you will agree with that.
Yes, it makes your life a whole lot easier that way because you don't have to track it down. Correct. You don't have to go back to it. You can use that link and it will follow the way that it is supposed to follow.
That's right. Yeah. So that's basically why I am on Blueberry. And of course, I'm not going to be, even though I used to be an evangelist for another piece of software back then when I was living in the States. That was probably before your times. So have you ever heard of Macromedia?
I don't think so.
Macromedia was they were the ones who actually made Photoshop and Flash and Dreamweaver, the software to make websites, and they were later bought by Adobe.
I was going to say, I have always known that my entire life as Adobe.
That's right, yes. Oh. So anyway, at that time, that was way, way, way early. At that time, I was pretty upset about this buyout. I stood by Macromedia, and at that time, I even became an evangelist. I was going from Hyatt to Hyatt to stop that from happening. Well, in the end, it did happen, and in the end, it proved to be a good thing that it happened. But I'm trying to say is I'm not a, let's say, an evangelist for such and such software or such and such website or such and such podcasting podcasting guru.
Yes.
But both Blueberry on the side of hosting and Daniel J. Lewis on the side of giving advice for podcasts and personally Mike Dell, they were all three awesome for me.
Good.
Really.
Good.
Yeah.
We're happy to be there and happy to have you.
Thank you. I'm happy to be there.
It's one of those things where we love to get the customers that truly pay attention to what we're creating and are excited to hear about the new technology and, you know, try things out. That's just kind of invaluable to a company.
Oh yes. Oh yes. Of course. Of course.
I have a question about your show. Yes. I know it's in Spanish and I typically try to get in and listen to an entire episode of a show before I have them come on the podcast. I'm going to be honest. I didn't do that with yours because it's in Spanish.
That's right. Yeah.
So,
but anyway, if you go to the other, the baby podcast, yes, which is the taleofrome.com, D as in T-H-E, tale is like a story, not as a tale in the tale of a dog, right?
Yes.
If you go to the taleofrome.com, there is three episodes and there is a counter of how many days we have for the podcast launch.
Nice.
And I also put a little nifty, a structure on what they're going to hear once they hear the episode. I wrote about how I structure a little episode, even though I'm not a fan of too long podcasts. For example, if somebody goes to a gym or if somebody has a 1 hour commute, I understand somebody would listen to a 1 hour podcast.
Yeah.
That's okay. And it makes sense. But I personally prefer those podcasts that are 15 to 20 minutes in length. Mm-hmm. All right. So my structure for the podcast, and that repeats itself from the Spanish website to the English, both of course are hosted on WordPress and both of course use Blueberry. Mm-hmm. I have a structure. I have a 1 minute greeting with a little bit of music, and even that music I consider sometimes stolen time from the listener because I really want to give them information.
Yeah.
And then after the intro comes a little segment which lasts about 1 minute where I give them a Latin word of the week, where I give them one word and then I tell them, look, if you go to this website, you can see the meaning of that word right now. If not, you will know about what my word means next week because I'm going to explain it in my next episode.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a little a way for me to try to attract people to the website. Okay.
Oh, definitely.
Then comes the episode content, which is anywhere between 12 and 15 minutes. And then last comes the outro, which is a simple outline of next week's episode and maybe a point or a question for listeners to chew on until next Monday. That's it. So people can do that in English. It's not a Google made translation, because some of the things I don't translate literally. And for example, if I talk about something in Rome and I compare it, well, if I compare it in the Spanish podcast, if I compare it with something that happened in Mexico or Argentina, well, in the English podcast, I don't do that. I would compare it to something that happened to JFK or Louis Armstrong or somebody in the American history, so that people can feel more related to it.
This is so thought out. Like, I love the Latin word that you're putting at the beginning. I love that you're telling them what the next episode is going to be about, because you're pulling people in that way. You are like on the ball with all of this, of how to get people
The little difference is that starting from episode 4, and I really want people to know that, especially with the Tale of Rome, because that's a little different from the Spanish one, and a little cooler than the Spanish one. Starting from episode 4, I start to insert a little, for example, there is a battle going on, and then I tell them, okay, let me describe the battle, but instead of telling you, hey, this guy walked here and hit this guy, let me give it to you in 10 bullet, like a bulleted list, of what happened from the morning until sunset until the battle was finished.
Yeah.
And I set up a cinematic it's not a transcription, it's a readout of something I wrote by myself, but I insert some music, horses, blah, 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 weapons being thrown.
I mean, you're making it a drama that way.
Yeah, I try to make it a drama. But then in episode 4, what they will have is just a sneak preview for you. At the end of those 10 bullets or bullet list, they don't really come numbered. I tell them, okay, guys, listen, one of those 10 has been a total lie. I mean, has never existed in history. It never existed. It comes totally 100% out of my own fantasy.
Yes.
Did you catch which of these 10? And when I did that in the Spanish one, most of them said, whoa, you caught me by surprise. And I had to
go back.
The little button, 30 seconds, 15 seconds back to hear that again, because they didn't hear it, you know. Turns out I do put one guy there, which is fictitious, which is made up entirely by me. And I make him get married, have his children. And as the history of Rome continues, he and his genealogy tree goes on. So basically, I'm going to be making a 1,000-year-long family tree,
that's
totally
so cool.
Fictitious, from the time of the founding of Rome until the end of Rome.
That is so cool. See, this is where your writer is coming in. Because, I mean, you've obviously
kind of
written these out and have made them a story instead of just
an
audio book in that sense.
And later on, I mean, I hope, I mean, if the podcast will, you know, take off and grow, and if I'm going to have listeners, I will actually let listeners to put comments and, hey, don't make this guy suffer so much. Help out this family, you know.
Yeah.
We don't want to see them in such a bad state, you know. And okay, something will happen in the history of the family, and some big guy will help them, or a girl of the family will marry a rich guy and they'll all be good for a century or so.
Okay for a while,
Yeah. It's basically something like Arthur Hailey's Roots. I'm sure you heard about it. It's a history of a 500-year-old history tree of an African-American family in America. And he traces his family back all the way to the poor African, I mean, at that time he was not called African-American, to the poor black guy who was captured in Africa and brought on a slave ship to America, you know. And that was 500 years. I still remember it. I mean, it's obviously old as well, but I remember that dearly, dearly, dearly. And it's an awesome example of following a family through episodes.
This is such a good idea. This is so creative. I love it.
Well, let your users go to the taleofrome.com.
Yes. Okay, so it's the taleofrome.com. And what about
the Tale of Rome? Detail.
Okay. Not the Tale of Rome. Detail.
I actually tried to buy Tale of Rome, but it was already taken, so I had to go for thetaleofrome.com.
You went with what worked and what is available, and it's completely fine.
Yes. So that's my podcasting. That's my life now in China. That keeps me busy. And as you can see, it's a year-long project. And the only reason I can do this for years is because podcasting itself will be out there for years.
Oh, definitely. I believe it will be too. I mean, otherwise, I probably wouldn't be here working this job.
That's right. You probably wouldn't be here too. Yes.
I'm not trying to work in an industry that is dying. So.
Yes, that's right. Okay. You run the show. So anything else? Go ahead.
No, I think that is actually a very good place to end. And then coming up next is a tip about PowerPress from our support guy, Sean Thorpe on the Blueberry team. But Abel, I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show and sharing, you know, everything
thank
about
you
your
for
show
having
so far.
Me. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you next episode.
Good. Thank you.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry support team with this week's PowerPress tip. If you're listening to the PowerPress podcast, you're probably aware of the new iTunes tags coming later this year. One of those tags will allow podcasters to add iTunes-specific titles to their podcast episodes. That means, for example, if you want to name your latest podcast PowerPress Tips Episode 6 on your WordPress site, but then have a different title for that episode show up within iTunes, the new iTunes title tag would allow you to do that. But as I'm recording this in August 2017, that iTunes title tag isn't yet actively displaying anything within Apple's podcast ecosphere or, as far as I know, anywhere else. The new title tag, along with the other tags announced at this year's WWDC, won't become active until after the release of iOS 11 later this year. But what if you don't want to wait for iOS 11 to have specialized episode titles that are separate from the post titles you use on your website? That's where the podcasting SEO feature within PowerPress comes in. Let's say that instead of having your latest episode show up simply as PowerPress Tips Episode 6 within iTunes, you wanted it to instead be called Creating Custom Podcast Episode Titles. What you can do is log into your WordPress site or your Blueberry PowerPress site and hover over the PowerPress link in the left-hand sidebar. Then click the Podcasting SEO link in the pop-up menu, and on the next screen, check the box next to Specify Custom Episode Titles for Podcast Feeds, which will then also automatically select the Feed Episode Title Replaces Post Title option underneath. Click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page. Now go and look at the Podcast Episode box for a new or existing podcast post on your site. You'll now see a field that is called Episode Title. There you can enter your custom episode title, and that title will go into your podcast feed for that episode when you publish the post. Keep in mind that any specialized episode titles you enter into the episode title field will be used by all syndication points that use your PowerPress-generated podcast feed. That means the specialized title won't show only within iTunes, but it will also show on other services like Stitcher and Google Play Music. When the iTunes title tag comes into effect later this year, you may have the option then to have truly unique episode titles that appear only within Apple's podcasting apps, but even that will depend on whether or not third-party apps like Downcast or Overcast also decide to support those new tags. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you're attending Podcast Movement 2017 in Anaheim, be sure to stop by the Blueberry booth and say hi, and let me know what you'd like to see covered in a future PowerPress Tips segment. Until next time, this has been Sean Thorpe with the Blueberry support team. Thanks for listening.